today we're continuing on our series on the letters of John. And so I got to preach 2 weeks ago, so this is actually the next one in the series because we had our testimony Sunday last week. And today we're going to look at the middle verses in the second chapter of 1 John. So if you want to follow along with me, all my scriptures I read are going to be from the New Revised Standard Version, but we're going to be in 1 John chapter 2, starting in verse 7. So I'm going to read it first. It's quite a long passage, and then we're going to take it apart, examine it piece by piece. Beloved, I am writing you no new commandment, but an old commandment that you have had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word that you have heard. Yet I am writing you a new commandment that is true in him and in you, because the darkness is passing away and the true light is already shining. Whoever says, I am in the light, while hating a brother or sister, is still in the darkness. Whoever loves a brother or sister abides in the light, and in such a person there is no cause for stumbling. But whoever hates a brother or sister is in the darkness, walks in the darkness, and does not know the way to go, because the darkness has brought on blindness. I am writing to you, little children, because your sins are forgiven on account of his name. I am writing to you, fathers, because you know him who is from the beginning. I am writing to you, young people, because you have conquered the evil one. I write to you, children, because you know the Father. I write to you, fathers, because you know him who is from the beginning. I write to you, young people, because you are strong, and the word of God abides in you, and you have overcome the evil one. Do not love the world or the things in the world. The love of the Father is not in those who love the world, for all that is in the world, the desire of the flesh, the desire of the eyes, the pride in riches, comes not from the Father, but from the world. And the world and its desire are passing away, but those who do the will of God abide forever. As I was just reading that, I just have this really strong impression from the Lord, just to say, you know, there's a lot of richness and treasure in this script, in this passage. It's too much to cover in one day. So let's pray together that the Lord would help us to hear his voice, his invitation, what he wants to show us today. So, Lord, we just lay this time before you as we've just read your word, your precious, precious word. We want to hear your voice. We want to notice what you want us to notice, to hear the voice of the Lord, to follow you hard, to follow hard after you wherever you lead us, for your glory, in Jesus' name. So as I examined this scripture this week, I noticed three kind of natural sections in the passage. So we're going to look at each of these in turn. And so I've given them a little name each called what to do, who can do it, and what not to do. All right. So in the first section, which I'm calling what to do, we see some examples of paradox, where we see pairs of contradictory yet interrelated words. So in the ancient world, writers used paradox in order to get the attention of readers or listeners, in order to jolt us, into thinking hard and well about what is being said. So in this first section, we see two kinds of paradoxes. We're going to look at each pair in turn. So the first pair we see in verses 7 and 8. Beloved, I am writing you no new commandment, but an old commandment that you have heard from the beginning. The old commandment is the word that you have heard. Yet I am writing you a new commandment that is true in him and in you. New and old. John is here telling us about a commandment that is new but old, not new but old and new. What does this mean? I don't know if you feel that way. When I see things like this, I'm like, what is this actually saying? So we go back to Deuteronomy 6, verse 5, Moses tells us something almost immediately after reading the Ten Commandments. He said, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might." Meanwhile, the Lord gave Moses many other laws, including Leviticus 19:18, "You shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord." And you know, I say this all the time. I feel like I repeat myself in almost every sermon, every teaching, because it's that important. When Jesus was asked which was the most important commandment, he referred back to both these verses in Deuteronomy and Leviticus when he responded in Mark 12:29-31. The first is, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength." The second is this, "You shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these." And then another verse from the Last Supper, Jesus said to his disciples in John 13:34, "I give you a new commandment, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also should love one another." Love God, love others. These are not just suggestions, but old commandments, new commandments, the most important commandments. So that brings us to our second paradox, which begins in the middle of verse 8 and goes to verse 11. "The darkness is passing away, and the true light is already shining. Whoever says, 'I am in the light,' while hating a brother or sister, is still in the darkness. Whoever loves a brother or sister abides in the light, and in such a person there is no cause for stumbling. But whoever hates a brother or sister is in the darkness, walks in the darkness, and does not know the way to go, because the darkness has brought on blindness." Darkness and light. Now, it's important to note that this talk of darkness and light is not talking about salvation only. John is writing here to people who already believe in Jesus. John here associates darkness with what is passing away, hatred of others, stumbling, causing stumbling, being offended, not knowing the way. And it's a spiritual blindness that literally means smoke being blown that clouds our vision and obscures our view. So metaphorically, so when you dig deeper into the Greek, you get all these nuances. So metaphorically, this has to do with the blunting of mental discernment and the darkening of the mind. So let's talk a little more about that for a minute. So a little story. Paul and I have a habit of going to the gym almost every day for an hour of aerobic exercise on the treadmills. This strengthens our hearts, our legs, releases lots of happy endorphins in our brains, lowers our stress and things like that. But I've been noticing that certain muscles in my body just need more work. My desire to have stronger muscles isn't alone going to produce any change. The only way to strengthen my weak arms and my abs would be to work them hard too. So I'm trying to add them into my routine now. The desire is there, but you know, the spirit is willing, the flesh is weak for sure. But similarly, the only way to sharpen our minds and thinking and vision is to work them hard. All right, so I'm going to tell you about one of my favorite animations. There's a 2008 sci-fi animation, WALL-E, in which the humans are portrayed as being extremely lazy, sedentary, and passive, floating around on giant inner tubes and sipping on their supersized Slurpees, with robots catering to their every whim. It's very cute. Now, as humorous as that exaggerated portrayal may be, it's really a warning for us all. These people in their inner tubes and sipping Slurpees are very far from being ready for action. And similarly, if we settle for just going with the flow, which literally happens in a lazy river, our bodies and minds and spirits are going to be far less effective, useful, or prepared than God designed them to be. He's given us the raw materials, everything we need for life and godliness, but it's up to us to exercise them, to work them out, to sharpen and strengthen, to prepare and practice, and to grow and go. So back to the darkness and light verses. By implication, we are being challenged and invited to run towards and live in the light, which is associated with enduring, loving others, forgiving others, releasing offenses against others, removing obstacles from others' paths, discovering the way to go, and seeing. So I thought I had finished preparing my sermon yesterday, and I was recording an audiobook from the writings of Saint Silouan in his book Wisdom from Mount Athos, and I encountered this passage, which I felt the Lord tap me and say, add that in. So here's a quote from Saint Silouan. If we accustom ourselves to praying fervently for our enemies and loving them, peace will always dwell in our souls. Whereas if we feel hatred for our brethren or find fault with them, our minds will be clouded and we shall lose our peace and the confidence to pray to God. So here we have that idea. Remember I said that the darkness is, it means to have, it's like smoke that clouds our minds. And here we see that praying for and loving those who are whom we consider our enemies, that is what helps us to live in the light, to remain in God's peace, and even to pray confidently. So what to do? Love God, love others. But what is darkness anyway? So technically, darkness is defined as the absence or deficiency of light. When light is present, by definition, darkness is diminished or eradicated. So what is the light, or who is the light? We know that Christ is the light of the world. And Jesus also said that we are the light of the world. It's not enough to just declare it, as in, and it says this in the passage, I am in the light. We need to put our love for the light into practice. And as we love God, as we love others, the light of Christ, which is already shining, penetrates the darkness where the light has not yet reached. God's kingdom is already, but not yet fully here. So as we love God and as we love others, in the mystery of God's presence in us, through the power of the Holy Spirit, light pushes back darkness. And I told this story in one of the Advent devotionals in December, that time that Paul and I were stuck in a cave with baby Peter, and it was the darkest dark I've ever known. I know John has darkness stories too, but Paul had this little tiny insignificant LED light on his watch, and it pushed back the darkness completely. It seemed really bright in the darkness. So light literally pushes back darkness. The light of God in Christ, who lives in us, transforms all who embrace it. So we cry out again as we've been praying and praising and worshiping, calling out to God today already for the Lord. Come, Lord Jesus. Come, Holy Spirit. We welcome you. So tucked into these verses, there's sobering warnings. John warns us not to hate, which hate is a word that we don't like very much in Christian talk. But hate doesn't just mean active hate. It probably primarily means failing to love. So we ask you, Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. Help us to love as you loved and as you do love. So I know we know this in our heads, but this is a lifelong journey of getting truth, God's truth, from our heads to our hearts. We love our theoretical understandings in the Western culture, 21st century, but it's very important to understand here that to love others is not a theoretical idea or a warm, fuzzy feeling. This commandment to love is not only meant to enlighten and develop our minds, but also to enliven and direct our hands and feet. It is vital that our actual practical lives are engaged each and every day in caring for others. So I've come up with some questions to ponder this thought: how will I care for someone else today? Based on Jesus' words in Matthew 25. And hopefully these will help us as we ponder these questions to know how can we go and love, which is what I've called today's sermon. So today, how can I... So this is the passage about the sheep and goats. I'm not going to read it now, where Jesus said, I was hungry and you fed me, and that so on and so forth. So here are some pondering questions. Today, how can I contribute provisions to those experiencing food insecurity in my community or around the world? How can I, in a very practical way, come alongside others today who are thirsty or earnestly desirous of that which will refresh, support, or strengthen them? Which stranger or guest can I invite, welcome, or accommodate today? What appropriate attire can I provide for someone in need of warmth, someone preparing for an interview, or someone required to wear a uniform? What sick person can I care for today by providing medicine, vitamins, transportation, encouragement, prayer, or simply being present? Today, who can I visit in a place of confinement, such as a prison, hospital, aged care, mental institution, or detention center? So let's pay attention to what the Holy Spirit puts on our hearts, and then let's do it. And to quote Mother Teresa again, as I often do, not all of us can do great things, but we can all do small things with great love. So what to do? Go and love. Now, who can do it? That brings us to our second section in today's passage. So if you look at how verses 12 to 14 are structured and the way they're printed in most Bibles, you'll notice that they look like a poem or a song. There is structure and repetition. There are three lines that start with, I am writing to you because, and then there's three lines that start with, I write because, with each of the triplets in the first set corresponding to a triplet in the second set. So biblical commentators note that John most likely varied his writing in this way simply in order to keep the reader's interest. Now, before we read those verses again or look into those verses again, let's pay attention to who John is indicating in each of these triplets. And just in case anyone mistakenly assumes that these groups exclude women, we need to realize that in the original language, John employs the language categories of his day, which used masculine forms for mixed groups. And that's something that contemporary theologian Craig Keener points out. It does not mean that the people he's talking about are only male. That's an important point. Okay, the first group, which is often translated in the figurative sense of little children, literally means those who are deeply loved or endeared. The second group, often translated fathers, refers to those who are in intimate connection or relationship, who serve as nourishers, protectors, upholders, often advanced in years, teachers, those who originate or transmit something. And the third group, often translated young people, refers to those who are young in age or who attend to and serve others. So when we read these verses, we can bear in mind that John was writing to a group of people of all ages and stages with a variety of genders, gifts, and graces. God wants us to know that we are deeply loved, endeared, and called to love. So who can do it? All of us. We are deeply loved and endeared. We are intimately connected in relationships. We are nourishers, providers, upholders. We are advanced in years or young. We originate and transmit. We attend to and serve others. Go and love. We can all do this. I'm not going any further in that passage. Like I said at the beginning, it's very rich, very deep. There's so much to explore. I encourage you to explore further whatever sparks your interest, curiosity, or you feel the Spirit is tapping you on the shoulder with. So that brings us to the final section of today's passage, what not to do. I'm going to read those verses again, verses 15 to 17. Do not love the world or the things in the world. The love of the Father is not in those who love the world, for all that is in the world, the desire of the flesh, the desire of the eyes, the pride in riches, comes not from the Father, but from the world. And the world and its desire are passing away, but those who do the will of God abide forever. We are told to love God and love people. That is the will of God. We are also told to not love the world or the things in the world. So the term the world could refer to everything but God, but here it means the world system in competition with God. Jesus spoke specifically about this in three different ways. In Matthew 12, 30 and Luke 11, 23, he said, "Whoever is not with me is against me." In Mark 9, 40, he said, "Whoever is not against us is for us." And in Luke 9, 50, "Whoever is not against you is for you." So you can hear he's saying it in two different directions. He talks about us and he talks about individually us, if that makes sense. So every day of our lives, we're faced with these choices because there is a competition between God and the world system, a competition for our hearts, as we sang. We've sang about our hearts, "Lord, I want to know you. Take my heart." This is where the battle rages, in the mind and the heart. And so every day these choices face us. Will we follow God or will we follow someone or something else? Will we align our values with God or will we bend our values towards other things? Will we choose Christ no matter what it costs us, or will we compromise? So John here gives us three specific warnings: the desire of the flesh, the desire of the eyes, and the pride in riches. And I think he gave us these warnings so that we will pay attention to what we desire, what we focus our thoughts on, what we talk about. That was significant when Bart said he was playing the part of a mime. We all talk so much. I'm the worst of sinners in this area. But also, what do we pursue? What kind of appetites do we have? What do we crave? So think about this. What specific desires, appetites, and cravings am I nurturing? What not to do? We are told to go and love. What we ought not to do is to withhold love. Love has come so that we too may love. Jesus came so that we could live and thrive in intimate relationship with the Trinity, which we were created for this relationship of love. We were created to desire God above all other desires. But in contrast, if and when we cultivate desires, appetites, and cravings centered on the world, then what grows in and flows from us will be like what Paul describes in Galatians 5. And here I'm going to read it in the Message translation. Just as Bart wrote that, I'm talking about you a lot today, Bart, that song you wrote from Psalm 42 from the Message. I think Eugene Peterson gave a gift to the world. It wakes us up a little bit sometimes because it's easy to read scripture and put it in a box over here where God wants us to hear his word and have it change us. So as I read this passage in Galatians 5, we're going to recognize ourselves and things that we've done. And this is what happens when we cultivate desires, appetites, and cravings centered on the world. Repetitive, loveless, cheap sex, a stinking accumulation of mental and emotional garbage, frenzied and joyless grabs for happiness, trinket gods, magic show religion, paranoid loneliness, cutthroat competition, all-consuming yet never satisfied wants, a brutal temper, an impotence to love or be loved, divided homes and divided lives, small-minded and lopsided pursuits, the vicious habit of depersonalizing everyone into a rival, uncontrolled and uncontrollable addictions, ugly parodies of community. So we've all done these things either internally or externally. Maybe we haven't done all of them, but I know that we are all human. We are all imperfect. But the good news is our stories are not finished yet. God's grace is here to transform us from the inside out. So God wants to grace us with goodness, truth, and beauty, things that grow in and flow from us as we cultivate desires, appetites, and cravings centered on God. And here we have the same translation, the Message translation of the other part of this passage in Galatians 5, and we often call this the fruit of the Spirit. But what happens when we live God's way? He brings gifts into our lives much the same way that fruit appears in an orchard. Things like affection for others, exuberance about life, serenity. We develop a willingness to stick with things, a sense of compassion in the heart, and a conviction that a basic holiness permeates things and people. We find ourselves involved in loyal commitments, not needing to force our way in life, able to marshal and direct our energies wisely. So as I close here, in summary, our Creator is calling to us to go and love, to love God and love people. Everything that God created is good, including you and me and every person on this planet. And we're all invited into this amazing life of love. So as we cultivate our desires for God, He gives us the power to love as Jesus loved and to live the abundant life He desires for us to live with affection, exuberance, serenity, stick-to-itness, compassion, holiness, loyalty, freedom, and wisdom. I'd like to invite you to stand now. So today, in response to this, all that we've heard today, as we've worshiped God, as we've prayed the news, as we've participated in communion, as prophetic words were given, as we looked at these scriptures today, as we said hello at the door, as the children are doing things, in everything, God is here. God is present with us. But we're going to set aside this time right now. We're going to have a time of commissioning to go and love. And I'm going to invite Pastor John and Pastor Nancy to come forward. And I want to tell you, even if you've been commissioned or sent out before, if you would like to respond to God's call today to go and love, to love God and love people, to do the great commandments of Christ, the most important things with your life, if you want to be sent out today for the first time or the nth time to be a minister of the good news of Jesus Christ, then I want to invite you to come forward. Pastor John, Pastor Nancy, and I want to anoint you with oil. Nancy has a vial of oil, and she will trace the sign of the cross on your forehead. We want to lay hands on you. We want to pray for you and bless you. As soon as I finish talking, I want to go over and be commissioned again. This is exactly how the early church commissioned believers to go and love. And so we're practicing the model. And here come the beautiful children. I invited them to come back and join us. If you want to be commissioned, and whether you're old or young, I'll call them again when they can all hear me. So if you want to be commissioned to go and love and respond to the Holy Spirit by taking this small step of faith, we invite you to come. But this is not a high pressure sales pitch, and this is not a shaming thing. This is simply an opportunity and an invitation. If you would like to be commissioned by the Holy Spirit today through the hands and the words and the blessing and the oil, there's nothing magic about it. This is us being the hands and feet of Christ. You're free to come forward and you're free to stay where you are. And so after everyone who chooses to come forward, whether you're 5 years old, I know no one's five here, or you're 95, every age, everyone is invited. And then after everyone who comes wants to come, I'm going to close our service with a short blessing. So as we all remain standing, or if you need to sit, you can sit, but let's wait quietly on the Lord. The Lord is present, and He wants to show us the depths of His love today. Be still and know that He is God, and He is with us. God is with you. So Lord, we thank You. Thank You so much that You have sent us out. You've called each one of us. You've equipped us. You've told us to go and love. We want to be faithful to You. So Lord, as we go out, we ask for Your help. We know that we won't do it perfectly, but we ask that You would keep us on short, keep the accounts short, so that You would help us to notice when You're tapping us or inviting us to go a different way than the way we're going. Help us to be quick to turn and go the way You're going, to follow You, Jesus, to do things not in our strength, because our strength is not enough, but to do things in our weakness, to allow Your strength to guide us, to fill us, to help us. So come, Holy Spirit, we welcome You. And now I just bless each one of us. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Go in love.